all the assembled devotees. I just came in and I was entering with the prayer that let me find a good place to sit. I think Krishna has fulfilled my desire. Actually, what Shyamananda Prabhu was saying that about praying to God, when it is especially the last lecture which Maharaj is delivering before his leaving the country, devotees from all over have come to hear, and at that time, if you are asked to sit, it's really very important to pray. You know, qualification. Yesterday, I was fortunate to be with Maharaj in Nigdi, and I thought some little things which I remember, I'll try to repeat. So, Radhanath Maharaj was speaking on the fourth canto of Bhagavatam, the story of Prithu Maharaj. Of course, what I'm speaking is very just a small thing. I would suggest those who like to see the actual video or the audio. Maharaj was explaining about how the most difficult things in life, they finally lead to the most wonderful things. And as most of you may be familiar with the story of Prithu Maharaj, how he was, you know, born from the body of King Vena, going back from King Anga. And then after Maharaj Vena he was the king, but he was very cruel. And finally the sages decided to curse him and he was killed, he died. And then there was no king. So there has to be some king. So the sages, they churned the body of King Vena, and Prithu Maharaj appeared. So whatever happens in a devotee's life, there is always a brighter side of how to look upon it. Maharaj was explaining one story from his life, how he happened to go through some place and he fell off a cliff and he was rolling down, 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 down for a long time until he came, and it was in the middle of the night. And it happened to be something like Amavasya. So there was no moonlight, no torchlight, no mobiles at that time. So practically he was lost. And he could hear some sound of animals, and some animal passing by very nearby. Could be a dangerous animal like a snake or a tiger. And at that time I was thinking, the only thing, the hope was that after a few hours, the sun will rise. And when the sun rises, I will find my way out and then I will climb up. In other words, as a devotee makes progress in his or her Krishna consciousness, there are dark times, there are difficulties. But eventually, everything works out for the good of Krishna's devotee. If you always know that Krishna is our best friend and is always with us, guiding us, then we are always hopeful. Krishna's mercy is the hope for the hopeless. I was explaining the word Karuna Sindhu. Krishna is Karuna Sindhu, is the ocean of mercy. And then Maharaj was explaining one incident from his life, which I think he spoke here, this was a few years back, when Maharaj was returning from London to Bombay, and he was on this flight, British Airways, and he, you know, as they were flying, sometime before landing, there was an, you know, announcement, because I can't make all those, Maharaj did very graphical sounds. My speech is just a small advertisement so that you can listen to his lecture. So Maharaj was explaining how there was sirens going on, and there's an announcement made in the flight that we are sorry to say, but this plane is totally out of control. there is, you know, we have to make an emergency landing. We don't know where we'll land, how we'll land. And those of you who are strong, they please come near the emergency exit. You can help. In fact, one of Maharaj's acquaintances was near Maharaj, but they asked him to come near the emergency exit. In case there is some danger, he can help to pull people out of the calamity. So Maharaj said, at that time I was, you know, with full attention taking shelter of the holy name. I was crying out to Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So earlier also Maharaj spoke about this, and Maharaj was explaining, generally when I come to Bombay, I am thinking about, you know, all the different plans on how to improve the temple. As you know, Radha Gopinath temple is a very dynamic temple, and in construction also. So Maharaj said, but at that time I was not thinking of anything else. Maharaj said, these were some of the best rounds I ever chanted in my life. And then he explained how he was offering beautiful prayers to the Lord, because he was thinking that this could be the last moment of my life. And children were crying, and, you know, even elderly people, they were also panicking here and there, and there was distress. And finally the plane, they said it's an emergency landing, so they had to all put their head in between their feet, and the plane landed at about 300 miles per hour, which is much faster than the normal speed of landing, and it just came and just bounced off. After touching the ground, it went up and down like it was, you know. And then Maharaj saw from the window there were ambulances and people with hoses ready to help, you know, about 50 or 60 different vehicles. And the plane stopped. But then there was an announcement that we have still not come out of danger. Maharaj was continuing to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And it was announced that there's still a possibility that the plane might explode. So, you know, everybody was advised to just be where they are. And after some time, the plane made a move and towards the terminal. And then there was an announcement that now we have successfully landed into Chhatrapati Shivaji Airport, Mumbai. And sorry for the slight inconveniences. And such things are common in aviation circles. And we hope that you will again choose British Airways. So Maharaj is explaining that because of this experience, I always choose British Airways. Then the essential point which Maharaj was explaining is how in all situations one has to actually take shelter of Krishna's holy name. And we see this in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. How a devotee is one who is always taking shelter of the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in his song, Sukhe Dukhe Bhule Nako Vadane Hari Naam Bolore. Whether in happiness or in distress, just take shelter of the holy name. Because the situations of life which we go through, they are not really under our control. We are simply puppets being controlled by Krishna through material nature. But if we take advice of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in all situations we can take shelter of Krishna in the form of the holy name. There's a story in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There's one great devotee whose name was Gopinath Patnayaka. And Gopinath Patnayaka is actually one of the eternal associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is one of the five Pandavas. As you know, Bhavananda Rai is Maharaj Pandu. And the five sons of Pandu were Arjun, Yudhishthir, Bhim, Nakul, Sahadev. They appeared as Gopinath Patnayaka, Vaninath Rai, Kalanidhi, Sudhanidhi, and Ramananda Rai. And it so happened that Gopinath Patnaik was involved in some financial matters, and he had not paid to the king the amount which he was supposed to pay. He was like supposed to collect some money and deposit it with the king. And it was found out that he had made this mistake. And as a result, the son of the king, Purushottam, he ordered that Gopinath Patnaik should be given capital punishment. He would be thrown onto the changa. In those times, there was something called a changa, a rotating platform. It would go round, 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 and there were naked swords. And the person who was supposed to be punished was thrown off, and he was just completely killed. So all the devotees who were knowing Gopinath Patnaik, they came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and prayed, "Mahaprabhu, please help, your devotee is in danger." So Lord Chaitanya asked, "What is the matter?" And then the devotees explained that Gopinath Patnaik, he was supposed to deposit some money, and instead he used it for his personal use. And hence the king, king's son has ordered that he should be given this punishment. So actually it is explained that Gopinath Patnaik, he offered that, "Yes, I have to pay this money, I don't have this money, but I have some few horses. You can accept these horses, and after some time, the rest of the money I can pay in installment." He told this to the son of the king. But Purushottam, the son of King Pratap Rudra, he made a very low estimate of the horses. Let us say the horse would be costing about 50,000. He said, "This is just worth 500 or something like this. So Gopinath Patnaik, he became very upset. So he told that, "My horses, they are very good horses." This Purushottam, the son of King Pratap Rudra, he had one idiosyncrasy. As he would be speaking or looking, he would move his neck around like this. Krishna spoke in the Bhagavad Gita, something like that. So Gopinath Patnaik said, "My horses, they are very good. They do not turn around their neck like you do." And this was a big insult. See, Purushottam, King Pratap Rudra's son, was a great Kshatriya. We find in the history of Odisha that King Pratap Rudra had, in fact, many battles, even not only with King Nawab Hussain Shah on the northern side, but also with the rulers of Andhra who were from the Hindu background also. A Kshatriya cannot tolerate insults. So he became very angry. So he said, "Okay, you are not paying it properly. Just, you'll be given this punishment." So all the devotees came to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asked for help. Lord Chaitanya said, "I'm a sannyasi. I'm supposed to chant Hare Krishna here. I have not come to offer financial help. I cannot help." And then the devotees came again and again. They said, "Gopinath Patnaik is your devotee. How can you just neglect him?" Lord Chaitanya said, "I am a sannyasi. I cannot go to the king and beg alms." A sannyasi is allowed to beg alms. But how much can he beg? In those times, sometimes a sannyasi would ask for as much money as is needed to get prasad for one time. So I cannot go and say, "Oh, I want money, 2 lakh rupees for one meal, you know." So I cannot ask. Then when again the devotees asked for help, then Lord Chaitanya said, "Why are you asking me again and again? Go to Lord Jagannath. He can help you." And the words used are, "Kartum akartum anyatha kartum." That Lord Jagannath, he can do anything and he can undo anything. Of course, we know, "Jai Gaura Sei Krishna, Sei Jagannath." Come to me, but not directly. Go to Jagannath, through the agency of Jagannath. So devotees praying to Lord Jagannath. In the meanwhile, one of the officers of the king, whose name was Harichandan. Harichandan went and he told to the king, "What is going on here? Gopinath Patnaik has served you loyally for so many years. He has made a mistake, no doubt. He has taken some of the money of the royal treasury. But his mistake is not so much that he should be given this kind of punishment. Besides, if you give him this punishment, if he is killed, you will not get anything. At least now he is offering the horses and is promising to pay gradually." The king replied, "I never ordered that he should be killed. All I asked him was that somehow the money should be retrieved. So immediately go and stop it." So Harichandan went, and as just Gopinath Patnaik was about to be thrown on the changa, And Harichandan stopped. He said, the king has ordered that he should not be punished in this way. So immediately an appointment was arranged with the king. And the king asked Gopinath Patnaik, what is your plan? How do you plan to repay the money? And Gopinath Patnaik explained that I have just horses. You can take the horses and then I will pay the rest of it later. But your son wanted to punish me, so what could I do? So immediately the matter was solved. When Lord Chaitanya got the news, he was very happy. And he asked, in that condition, when Gopinath Patnayaka was about to be thrown on the Changa, what was he doing? And the reply was that he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Factually, everybody in this material world is more or less on the Changa. Changa also means very good, but this Changa is not good. There's always danger. Whether you're on British Airways or Air India or Go Air or Indian Rail or two-foot rail, just walking. Just yesterday I was in Nigdi and one of the devotee's son, he was driving a motorcycle and he had a very severe accident. He was bleeding all over his body. You know, there's always danger everywhere. And even if you say, okay, I will not go by British Airs, I'll just go by train. There are train accidents. Say, okay, I will not go by train, I'll just go by car. There are car accidents. Say, I'll just walk. You may be walking very safely, but somebody may lovingly come to you. You have no choice. If you say, okay, I will not go anywhere, I'll just lie down, you may have a very sweet heart attack. So there's no safe place. This material world is padam padam yadvipadam. So whether one is in grihastha ashram or brahmachari ashram, whether one is a king or whether one is a pauper, the only safe course of action is to take shelter of Krishna's holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains it like this. Enechi aushadi maya nashi baro lagi hari nama maha mantra lao tumi magi. This is Lord Chaitanya is saying, I brought this medicine, the holy name. Just the day before yesterday, Radhanath Swami Maharaj was speaking very beautifully in Pune, a gathering of several thousands of devotees in Kondwa. And he was explaining that how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he compares himself to a gardener or to a fruit vendor. He says that I have grown so many fruits and I want to distribute these fruits. But I am alone. How can I distribute? I need the help of each one of you. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought the fruits of love of God, the fruits of Krishna Prem, Krishna Prem through Krishna Naam. He has brought a garland of the holy name and that of Krishna, of the holy name and love of Krishna. And he wants to garland the whole world with this garland. So we are fortunate that Lord Chaitanya, although can do anything, everything in a moment, he is giving us this service to assist him, to assist his dear Senapati, to his dear pure devotee Srila Prabhupada, in distributing this fruit of love of God. And Maharaj was so beautifully explaining in the lecture in Pune of how devotees from different backgrounds should unite together. That day it so happened that the garland which was given to Maharaj was little strange, mysterious, as Maharaj was saying. It was different colored. So Maharaj was showing this garland and saying, just like there are different colors, blue colored and yellow colored and white, but they're united by the thread. So similarly, devotees coming from different backgrounds, different ashrams, different languages, they're united by the thread of the holy name, the thread of being children of the same Lord. So Maharaj was then graphically in detail explaining the story of Narottam Das Thakur. How Narottam Das Thakur hailed from a very royal family. He was the son of Krishnananda Datta, who was the king. And he left everything to go to Vrindavan. In fact, Narottam Das Thakur is such a great soul that even before his arrival, Lord Chaitanya was crying out, Narottam, Narottam. Lord Chaitanya told the river Padma that I am depositing my love of Krishna. I'm keeping this love. And when Narottam comes, you can give this love. Padmarivar inquired, how will I know who is Narottam? And the Lord explained that he, that great personality, upon his arrival, your water will flood up. That person is Narottam. So many years back, in the year 2003, we had a yatra to Mayapur. And after the Mayapur yatra, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj and His Holiness Indradyumna Maharaj, with some of our senior devotees from Radha Gopinath Temple and also Pune Radha Kunja Bihari Temple, we had gone to Bangladesh. I was also fortunate to be there. And Maharaj actually took us to the place Kheturi, where Narottam Das Thakur was born and where he performed his pastime before he left for Vrindavan. So Maharaj promised us that he will speak. So morning we were supposed to speak, but then Maharaj said, maybe we'll speak a little later. First we went to Premtali, the actual place where Lord Chaitanya deposited his love, the river Padma. And we were fortunate to go and take bath there with the association of Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And then after that, it was time for class, but Maharaj said we'll begin the class little later. So then we had lunch prasad. So the Bhagavatam class began at 3:30 in the afternoon. And then so we were hoping that, okay, maybe 1 hour, 2 hour, 5:30, 6:30, 7:30. So the historic class. And we were having a class in a small tent. And that place where the class was, the place where we were supposed to take rest also. So we could not go anywhere. Of course, the class was so, it was filled with so much details. We were absorbed and, but with, of course, with our limited conditioned mind. And Maharaj was explaining details and it went on to 9:30. Finally, we ended at about 10 o'clock. So it was almost 6 hours class. If you have not listened, please, it is there in our tape ministry, this short Bhagavatam class. So Maharaj is explaining much more detail there, but in the lecture in Pune, he was explaining in short how Narottam traveled all the way to Vrindavan, and there he was advised to take shelter of Loknath Goswami. And Loknath Goswami was so humble, he really did not want to accept any disciples. A true guru never wants disciple. Maharaj was explaining in one earlier lecture that generally people think that to have disciples is like, you know, some great achievement, something which you can hanker for. But actually to accept disciples is actually a burden. Of course, the guru accepts it out of love for his guru. But he was saying that all other people's problems become your problem. So Loknath Goswami did not want to accept any disciple. But Narottam Das Thakur, he requested again and again, said, no, I cannot accept any disciple. Finally, Narottam Das Thakur decided that I will serve Loknath Goswami. And not in a very visible way, but he served in a very hiding. He was hiding behind. Loknath Goswami would go daily to answer nature's call. And after that, Narottam Das Thakur would come and he would come and clean up and make the place very clean for the next day. And one day, Loknath Goswami was thinking, who is this person who is doing this service? He was hiding behind the bushes. And when he saw Narottam doing this work, a very, very menial service, he was very surprised. He said, Narottam, you are a prince. You are not supposed to do these kind of services. But Narottam Das Thakur explained that my only wealth is service to you. You can gain inspiration from the life of Narottam that devotee's life is just service. Any service, anywhere, in any form. Just like when we see the deities, so today the deities are wearing blue clothes, sometimes they are wearing red clothes, sometimes wearing green. And we are pleased to see the deity in the form in which they appear. We cannot say, oh, why, my Lord, why are you wearing blue? I like red. So the Lord says, you clean the toilet, and you cannot say, oh, no, I would like to distribute books. The Lord says, you distribute books, then you cannot say, I would like to eat prasad. Of course, eating prasad is common, that is needed. So this was in one other lecture Maharaj was explaining. I'm just combining different lectures. So, Narottam Das Thakur, by his humble attitude, pleased Loknath Goswami so much that Loknath Goswami decided that I will accept him. And he did not accept any other disciple. That was the only disciple. Later on, Narottam, Shyamananda and Srinivas Acharya, all three of them studied under Jiva Goswami. They were disciples of different guru. but they were working under one Shiksha Guru. Just like in our ISKCON society, we have disciples of different disciples of Prabhupada initiating. So most of us are grand disciples of Prabhupada. So we may be disciples of different guru, but we have Srila Prabhupada as our center point, uniting the entire society of ISKCON. So after their studies, as you know the story, they took these books on bullock carts. And then the books were lost for some time. And then later Narottam Das Thakur, he went to Kheturi. And his cousin brother was Santosh Dutt. So Maharaj was telling this story to illustrate that point, that Santosh Dutt was his cousin brother. And Santosh Dutt was in the Grihastha Ashram. And Narottam was a pure renunciate. But both of them jointly were working together for the pleasure of the Lord. So in Vaishnava culture, this principle of working together to please Krishna is very important. We see in the life of the Vaishnavas in Shrikhanda. In Shrikhanda, there were devotees like Mukunda, Raghunandan, his son, Narahari, later on Lochan Das Thakur, and they were all from varied backgrounds. And one day Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invited, he called and he told Mukunda, your service is to earn material and spiritual wealth. And then he told Raghunandan to help in the worship of the deity. And he told Narahari to be with him in Puri and then also help in preaching. So in the purport there, Srila Prabhupada explains that these are three main services. In a society, different devotees may be doing different services, but we are united. Some are engaged in earning wealth for serving the Lord. Some are engaged in worshipping the Lord in the temple directly. And some are engaged in preaching Krishna consciousness. But the common principle is to be united for pleasing Krishna. Maharaj was also explaining in the lecture in Pune one important point about how not to criticize devotees. In great detail, more than 15-20 minutes, Maharaj was speaking about this point, that one should be very careful not to criticize devotees. Sometimes there may be constructive criticism that may be allowed, but by and large, one should be very careful. In fact, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, he says this with such, there are few points which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I raise my arms and declare, like for Trinadapi Sunichena, he says. And here he says, I raise my arms and declare that anybody who follows these two principles, first is to never criticize devotees. Even if you cannot praise, even if you cannot serve, the bare minimum is to not criticize devotee. And second is to chant the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. See, if one follows these two principles, then one will go back to Godhead. That's all. It really doesn't matter whether you are temple commander or temple president or just cleaning the toilet or taking care of the shoes. Because ultimately all service is done by Krishna himself. We are simply humble instruments. That's another point Maharaj was explaining. The success of life is to just be an instrument in the hands of the Supreme Lord. It really doesn't matter what exactly the external nature of the service is. All what matters is the humility and the devotion. In the lecture in Pune, Maharaj was explaining in detail his yatra to Hampi many years back, Pampa Sarovar, how with many devotees he had gone, and he was explaining about Shabri, how Shabri was serving the Lord in such an intimate way. She was taking fruits, she would taste. If they were good, she would offer it to the Lord, Ramchandra. And if they were not good, she would keep it for herself. Maharaj was explaining, you cannot do like this. You cannot say, oh Gopinath, it's nice mango, please. Authorities will send you out of the temple. So Maharaj was in detail explaining the life of Shabri, how she served Lord Ramchandra in a mood of intimate devotion. We find a similar story of Mukunda and Raghunandan also. Mukunda was the father of Raghunandan. And once Lord Chaitanya asked Mukunda, who is the father, he asked, Mukunda, you are the father of Raghunandan, or is Raghunandan your father? It's a very embarrassing question. I need to ask a father. But Mukunda understood why Lord Chaitanya was asking. He said, Raghunandan is my father, and I am his son. Srila Prabhupada explains that one who inspires one in Krishna consciousness, he is a father, even if he may be younger in age. So Mukunda considered Raghunandan to be his father. Of course, Mukunda Sarkar himself was a very exalted Vaishnava. He was actually once, he was a royal physician to the king, the Muslim king at that time. And once it so happened that he was giving some advice to the king on a raised platform. And one of the servants of the king came to fan the king with a peacock feather. And as soon as Mukunda saw the peacock feather, he remembered Krishna. It's explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that an advanced devotee, he sees anything in connection with Krishna, his ecstasy is aroused. So he fell to the ground unconscious. And the king was surprised. He called some of the persons and then he tried to bring back Mukunda to consciousness. And Mukunda came back. He said, what happened? Mukunda said, I have a disease. I have epilepsy. He did not say that this was bhava or ecstasy. The pure devotee never exhibits this. Even if sometimes sometimes naturally they may come out, but a pure devotee tries to conceal them. Like our Srila Prabhupada was in Gorakhpur once and he was singing this song, Jai Radha Madhava. And he went into complete ecstasy and then he said, just everything is there in this song. There is Govardhan, Yamuna, Krishna. Just. And tears started coming out of his eyes. These are the very rare instances in which out of his just natural bhakti of Srila Prabhupada just emerged. And also once Prabhupada was singing, Parama Karuna Pahudui Jana Nitai Korti in Atlanta. And then Prabhupada was again in ecstasy. He said, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, they are so merciful. So once Lord Chaitanya, there's a story of how Mukunda told his son Raghunandan wants to do an offering to the deities. Same name, Gopinath. And Raghunandan, he did the offering. And then when he came, he saw that the offering, the prasad was still there. He said, my dear Lord, you have not accepted it. So Raghunandan, Lord said, I've accepted it. So Raghunandan said, but it's still there on the plate. If you have eaten it, how it is still there? The Lord explained, I have eaten by my glance. So Raghunandan explained, I don't understand this philosophy. So for the pleasure of his devotees, the Lord who had already accepted it, Angani yasya sakalendriya vritti mante, the Lord can eat by his eyes. He can do anything by any of his senses. And he is everywhere. His senses are everywhere. So for the pleasure of Raghunandan, even on an external level, everything was accepted. And when Raghunandan brought back the plate, and then later on, his father came back and said, Raghunandan, did you do the offering? He said, yes, I did. Where is the prasad? Prasad, Lord ate everything. Mukunda was thinking, I've been offering several years. He said, now Lord has eaten everything. So finally Mukunda requested that you do the offering again. And again Raghunandan did the offering. This time Mukunda, his father, was watching. And then as he was watching, the Lord again for his pleasure took half of the laddu. And he left half of the laddu. So, in the residence of Kulinagram, one very nice principle which I learned from the one of the Gaur Purnima lectures Radhanath Maharaj was explaining is how if a person has even the slightest connection with a devotee of Krishna, that is enough to make him into a devotee. Even if a person is very sinful, very degraded, but somehow or other, some connection with a devotee is what can arouse his natural Krishna consciousness. There are many examples in the Shastra. And one is a Muslim tailor. This Muslim tailor who had no sadhana, but he was Srivas Thakur's tailor. And because of his connection with Srivas Thakur, he could actually see the Lord, could see the opulences of the Lord. Similarly, that story of the milk-drinking brahmachari. When Lord Chaitanya was having his pastime in Srivas Sangan, The nocturnal kirtans were private kirtans, only with invitation card or whatever. Only limited people could come. So this brahmachari, he was, you know, pure, he was very tapasvi, he was austere. He would simply drink milk, not even fruits, just milk. So Lord, he requested Srivas Thakur that I would like to see the pastimes of the Lord. And finally, Srivas Thakur gave him a place hiding somewhere. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his kirtan. And then he said, I'm not feeling ecstasy today. Is there somebody here who is not supposed to be here? And Srivas replied in a very clever way. He said, my dear Lord, there are no atheists here. There's no blasphemer here. There's just one brahmachari. And he's very austere. He's simply drinking milk. And Lord Chaitanya became very angry. He said, what does he think? That just by performing austerities, can he attain me? Get him out of here immediately, or I will rip him to pieces. And this brahmachari, he was terrified, you know. Can you imagine, you know, if you are in a big group in a yatra and the leader of the yatra, he announces, you know, that this fellow, please get out of here. And it's a, I mean, it's quite insulting, to say the least. But this brahmachari, in his heart, he was thinking, I'm really not qualified. Actually, I'm so fortunate. Because of Srivas, I could see the Lord at least for some time. It was because of my offenses, I'm not allowed. He didn't take it negatively. He took it positively. That's another point yesterday Maharaj was elaborating, to take things positively. He could have said, you know, what is wrong? You know, these other devotees, they are eating, you know, nice prasad, they are allowed. I am austere, why am I not allowed? You know? He said, oh, actually, it's so kind of Srivas, so kind of the Lord. He allowed me to have darshan for some time. And then he was about to leave, and Lord Chaitanya called him. And actually, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Bhagavat explains that Lord Chaitanya put his lotus feet on his head. And then he told him, oh Brahmana, just by performing austerities, you cannot attain me. It's only by devotional service. Bhaktya mam abhijanati. The Bhagavad Gita says, the Lord is known only by bhakti, not by gyan, not by karma, not by tapasya. And in the purport to one of the verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's one verse, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatiranyatha. In the purport to that verse, Srila Prabhupada explains that when some people say, Swamiji, you are correct and we are also correct. You are okay, we are okay. So we reply, no, we are all right, you are not all right. Now this may sound like being very proud, ne? Generally we say, okay, you are also okay, I am okay. But Prabhupada is very clear that it's not by jnana, not by yoga, not by tapasya. And if you see Srila Prabhupada, from the very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, he brings the word devotional service, bhakti. Because he wanted to emphasize the most important principle. And among all the items of bhakti, Lord Chaitanya was asked by Sarvam Bhattacharya, which is the most important? And Lord Chaitanya replied, the most important is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This principle of chanting is of paramount importance, and it is so much emphasized, especially in the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today morning also, and also in the lectures in Pune, Maharaj, as usual, was explaining that this principle of honoring everybody is so important. If you can learn to honor everybody and expect no honor in return, then one can become qualified to take shelter of the holy name. Seeing the presence of Krishna in everybody's heart can make one humble, and then one can take shelter of Krishna. Kalikale namarupe Krishna avatar nama haite hai sarva jagat uddhar. In this age of Kali, the Lord has advented in the form of the holy name. All the opulences, all the mercy of the Lord is contained in the holy name. Somehow or other, we should pray to Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, to Gaur Netai, that please give me the taste for the holy name. I will conclude with this story of Shivananda Sen's dog, which I think was discussed in the Gaur Purnima lecture also. Shivananda Sen was traveling with a group of devotees, and a dog happened to join the party. And Shivanand Sen was taking care of the dog. A Mahabhagavat devotee is one who sees everybody as Prabhu and himself as servant. And Shivanand Sen was thinking that this dog is also a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And my duty is to serve him. So he was feeding the dog rice. This dog was a dog. Nobody cares for a dog usually. You know, don't like somebody, you say, "Tu kutriya sarka," you are like a dog, you know. But Shivananda Sen was taking care of this dog. And he was just joined the yatra. He didn't fill any registration form or anything. And he was cooking rice with his own hands and feeding the dog. And you know the story, I think Maharaj explained in the yatra, that how Lord, when they had to cross the river, the boatman said, "I can't take the dog on the boat. This is not the practice. Oh, no, yeah, please take extra money. Take this dog." Looks like 500 years back or now, things have not changed. With extra money, many things can be done. So they somehow crossed the river, and then Shivananda Sen had to stay back because he had to pay the taxes. So this dog was not taken care of. He left the company of devotees. When Shivananda Sen returned in the night, he was in great anxiety. Where is this dog? Where is this dog? And he sent 10 people to search for the dog. And finally, when he could not find the dogs, he decided to fast. He said, "I'm an offender. I could not take care of this devotee." See, a devotee is one who, although not at fault, thinks I'm at fault. Like King Yudhishthir, he never wanted the war. He gave a very, 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 you know, very simple proposal. They could be happy with 5 villages. But then he had to fight because Duryodhan was so adamant. But after the battle was over, Yudhishthir Maharaj was blaming himself. He said, 640 million people have been killed just because of my greed. I am at fault. This is Vaishnava. Vaishnava always takes blame on himself and gives credit to others. And always gives credit to others. This is always a Vaishnava quality. So Shivananda Sen was blaming himself for the negligence of the dog, which was not actually his fault. Finally, when they reached Jagannath Puri, they saw this dog had already reached. The dog was sitting next to Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was feeding him coconut pulp, malai, and he was giving them the coconut pulp, and the dog was chanting, "Krishna, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Ram, 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 Hari, 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 Krishna, Krishna, Ram, Ram, Hari, Hari," like that he was chanting. And Shivananda Sen offered obeisances to the dog. "Please forgive my offenses. I could not take care of." And soon the dog left his body and he went back to the spiritual world. Now the point I wanted to make is the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada explained this is the effect of sadhu sangha. That even a dog attained the spiritual world. Prabhupada writes there that if a person engages in these 3 processes of chanting, dancing and feasting. Kirtan, Nritya and Prasad. In fact, lecture is not mentioned in that. That is just... This is something needed to just increase faith in chanting. The purpose of all lectures, Maharaj explained one lecture, is to increase faith in the holy name. If I give very nice lecture, people are very impressed. But ultimately, if they do not take shelter of the holy name, it is not successful. So Prabhupada writes, if anybody engages in chanting, dancing and feasting, they will go back to God. And Prabhupada concludes. In the conclusion he says, all our devotees in ISKCON should become so pure that by their association, others are delivered even without their knowledge. I'll repeat, Prabhupada says, the devotees in ISKCON should become so pure that by their association, others go back to Godhead without their knowledge. That means a very heavy responsibility on all of us to aim for that purity of heart. Because like I've been, last 2 days in Pune and Nigdi, and even earlier I've been traveling with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And, you know, just naturally people become attracted. I was last week in Rishikesh. There was an international yoga festival. And there were people from 30 countries. And there were many speakers. And His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was also given 2 days opportunity to speak. You know, so many, many speakers were there. But naturally people were attracted. And it was not like an ISKCON program or it was not that it was a special... glorification for Maharaj. See, when you have something, purity, then naturally you can attract others to Krishna. It's not so much of an advertisement, but it's the natural love. When one's heart is overflowing with love of Krishna, that love of Krishna just spreads all throughout. You know? So I was seeing so many. And then when Maharaj had one lecture in Ananda Prakash Yoga Place, and this was for a small group, some 40-50, and more than half of them wanted to buy this book, and they would come and personally talk to Maharaj, get the signature. Maharaj had more time there. I never had book autographed. I also took this opportunity. Maharaj was so much giving, you know, to newcomers, to people who did not even know anything about Krishna. And just in a language, it did not appear like, you know, it was from the yoga language he was bringing them to the devotional world. You know, people who had come from, many of them would have come from material motivations, or many of the speakers were having impersonalistic backgrounds also. But just like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to the place where Prakashananda Saraswati and his company were there. The same way, Holiness Radhanath Maharaj went to Rishikesh, which is, there are many different kinds of sadhus. But by the association of Maharaj, I could see many of them were getting transformed. Many of them were taking interest and very greatly respectful, because that's the way people make advancement, is when they respect a genuine sadhu. See, the Prakashananda Saraswati, his qualification was, when Lord Chaitanya was sitting outside, he actually lifted up Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and brought him to the dais. You know? So here, in a similar way, you could see that these persons who were not exactly from Vaishnava background, they were rendering service in directly or indirectly and opening the forum, you know, to preach. Ultimately the same. And interestingly enough, in one of the lectures, Maharaj spoke directly about Gauranga Mahaprabhu's Jharkhand Leela. So something which one would not expect in a yoga conference, you know. But Maharaj connected it so nicely with the topic, you know, that it didn't appear out of place. Then Maharaj told the entire story of how Lord Chaitanya made, and the lions and the tiger and the deer embracing each other and even kissing each other. He spoke that also. And I was thinking this is a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava is one who knows how to preach according to time, place and circumstances. Because when one is pure, he is in touch with the super soul, and the super soul gives him the intelligence how to give Krishna consciousness. So we hanker. Prabhupada writes, we should hanker to become dogs of the Vaishnavas. So we should try to become dogs of Srila Prabhupada and their representatives. Ami tumhara kukur, I am your dog. Ami to kangal, Krishna Krishna boli dhaye tava pache pache. I am a dog. I am a dog of Srila Prabhupada and a dog of Srila Prabhupada's servants. And I run behind them chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So if we chant loudly, then Maharaj will come very soon. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In Maharaj's language, much louder. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.